You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to Locked On Vols here on the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Josh Ward alongside Eric Kane. We have a lot to get to on today's show. We're going to dive into basketball, football, it's signing day, a story coming out with now a former Tennessee commitment. We'll get to that and then just kind of tell you where things stand on a different kind of signing day because of what this year is for Tennessee and the new staff, of course, still a work in progress for Josh Heupel. So we'll get to all of that. But Eric, I would say we have to lead with basketball after the Vols loss at Ole Miss on Tuesday night. That was a disappointing one for Tennessee.
Yeah, it was very much a disappointing game for Tennessee. 52-50, the final score, just a combined, 33 turnovers, 35 fouls. Each team combined to miss, 11 free throws. Just an ugly, ugly game. And that kind of played into what Ole Miss was trying to do. And, Tennessee offensively just went, ice cold in the second half. I think there in the stretch run with, less than about 6 minutes left, I think Ole Miss went on Tennessee missed its last 13 shots or something like that. And so you can't expect to have that type of offensive performance and beat good teams. I mean, Ole Miss is not a really good team. I mean, this is a big win for Ole Miss, played well tonight and hats off to them, played well last night, but Tennessee can't expect to have that type of offensive performance, later in February and in March if this, team wants to accomplish all the goals that it set out to accomplish. But Josh, I feel like this is kind of the story, with Tennessee's offense this year. It's just there's no consistency. You have a really good game against Kansas, and then you drop this. You had a really nice game against Missouri earlier in the season, and then you a week and a half later, you had two losses where the offense didn't even show up against, Florida was one of those losses as well. And so, nonetheless, not a good performance from Tennessee, and, you got to try to rebound, from here on out as the month of February is going to be very, very challenging.
Yeah, that final 13-minute stretch where the only shot that was made was by Keon Johnson, a three-pointer, so 12 minutes without a field goal by Tennessee. Tennessee lost holding Ole Miss to 52 points. That should be difficult to do. During the television broadcast, Dane Bradshaw was talking about what Ole Miss would need to get done offensively to keep up with Tennessee, but then Tennessee went stone cold and missed some free throws too, by the way, which in the end, it's a 2-point difference. You have those back-to-back missed free throws. One leads to another miss, but you still, cost yourself a point there. And then Keon Johnson's miss, of course, at the end, when he had a shot to hit two free throws to tie it, he misses the front, makes the second. And, I think they probably should have tried to miss. That's not why they lost the game though. Tennessee couldn't score points. And I'll point to this one. Tennessee was 8 of 19 behind the three-point line. Tennessee shot 42% from three. Ole Miss shot 25% from three. It should be difficult to lose a game, Eric, when that happens, and Tennessee managed to pull it off. We've seen other games where Tennessee shot poorly from the outside. It's like, okay, well, if that happens, you're not going to win very often. But in this game, Tennessee had a 15-point advantage on three-point shots compared to Ole Miss. There's no free-throw advantage. Tennessee made 10. Ole Miss made 9. Both teams shot kind of poorly at the free-throw line. So you look at Tennessee, 42% on threes, 30% on two-point attempts, and that zone and pressure when Tennessee crossed the half-court line, the Vols just never could deal with it, couldn't knock down shots. And one more thing I'll add is in the previous three losses, the absence of Jaden Springer was an issue. That wasn't an issue for Tennessee. He obviously played the game. He was 1 of 7 from the field, and that hurt Tennessee. And those 7 shots were all 2-point attempts getting to the basket. It didn't work. So a frustrating night for Tennessee fans to watch that offensive performance. Tennessee earned, I would say, that loss on the offensive end.
Yeah, and just a really bad shot selection there towards the end whenever Tennessee's driving with, having what we believe might be the last possession of the game before Keon Johnson was fouled and went to the charity stripe.
Yeah.
Jaden Springer just kind of throw up a lob there from the center of the lane. And what wasn't a really good shot selection whatsoever. I like the aggressiveness from Jaden Springer, last night, but nonetheless, 1 of 7 is not going to get it done. And Jaden Springer is not the reason Tennessee lost to Florida. Tennessee was abysmal against the Gators earlier this year. Certainly could have helped in some other losses this year, but as you pointed out, was not the case here in this one. So it's interesting too. Tennessee had five different players score at least one three-pointer. Josiah Jordan James had three. You know, he was 3 of 7 from behind the arc. He shot pretty well. And Epons 2 of 3. And you know, Tennessee sometimes whenever these losses occur, you know, the Vols are just throwing up three-pointers with no regard. But you know, Tennessee was able to knock down a good percentage of them, at least from three-point range in this one. But you got to be able to connect down in the blocks. You got to be able to connect in mid-range. Just not a good game overall in that regard. And, you know, Tennessee has only allowed four opponents to get into the 70-point club so far this year. The Vols have, you know, lost three of the four of those, won one of those. But, you know, this was just an ugly game, but where defensively you like the effort because you only give up 52 points. But, again, it all goes back to offense and, you know, kind of been the story all season long. You know, how long do we have to wait and see until we say, hey, this is not a very good offensive team? You know, we're in February right now, and so that might be the case. And so, you know, from here on out, if Tennessee is going to have any hope of, you know, accomplishing its goals, it's got to play superb defense like it did tonight all game long. But it's got to find somebody to knock down some buckets and, again, try to find some consistency in that regard. But any way you spin it, the 52-50 loss on the road at Ole Miss, not a good one for Tennessee. And this one will hurt. The Vols now fall to 5-4 in conference play. And that's not a mark any of us believe we'd be at this point.
Winning the SEC regular season titles out, that's not happening.
Yeah, especially with Alabama still undefeated at 9-0. So, I think that's out the window right now. And I don't think any of us really envision this team struggling at this point in the season like it has been.
Yeah, not like this. I wrote a blog at joshward.blog, just posted on Monday after the big win against Kansas. And in it, I said Saturday was a reminder after the previous 2 weeks that there are going to be some ups and downs. And in that post, I noted that there will probably be another low moment or two, that Tennessee is probably going to have another performance where it didn't look that good. I didn't think that that would happen so quickly. I didn't think that after 2 weeks of bad play, or, you know, not good play. They got the win against Mississippi State. They didn't look great in that game, shot poorly in that game. But to come back and beat Kansas, I thought Tennessee would build on that. I thought Tennessee would go to Ole Miss. And Ole Miss is a good defensive team. We noted that at the end of Tuesday's show. But I still thought Tennessee would kind of cruise through that game. And I thought that in the middle of the game. I mean, Tennessee had an 11-point lead and then a 7-point lead where it's 42-35, I believe. And I thought, okay, you know, they're probably not going to blow out Ole Miss, but they're probably just going to hold a lead throughout the game and win by 5 to 10 points. But then Tennessee couldn't do anything offensively, and you get that kind of result. I didn't see 50 points coming from Tennessee in this game. And credit to Ole Miss, what it did defensively was very effective against the Vols. So Kermit Davis's team, that was a nice showing of what they did, but the concerns are still there. And KenPom.com has Tennessee ranked number one in the country as of this recording still with the adjusted defensive rating, but offensively, Eric, Tennessee ranks 72nd in the country. Tennessee has gone in the wrong direction in a hurry. So they have to get some things figured out. And you know, if they face teams that are going to throw zone at Tennessee in the future, that could be a problem. So we'll see what Tennessee does about that. It's still just one game. I'm going to add that. You go to Kentucky on Saturday, and you still have plenty of regular season basketball before you get to the postseason. But it's obvious that Tennessee has some flaws on the offensive end that could get Tennessee knocked out early in the NCAA tournament. And that's the biggest fear among fans.
Yeah, and you don't want to let this loss turn into two, and you know, God forbid, three losses in a row, which, you know, that's too talented. This team is too well coached to let that happen. But again, this next stretch of games, you know, the month of February is not going to be easy. You're at Kentucky, and I know Kentucky is 5-10 on the season, has a big matchup against Missouri later tonight, but you know, it's still Kentucky, it's still Rupp Arena, it's still going to be a challenge. And then from there, you play Florida at LSU. Back home against South Carolina, Kentucky at Auburn, and then again at Georgia. So that's the remainder of the schedule here for the month of February on into March the 3rd. And, you know, Tennessee, you know, on the sleigh ride on Sports 180 yesterday, kind of talked about how there were some good growing pains for this team. And, you know, it was a daunting month of January where you learned a lot about themselves, but it was challenged a lot. And you thought that might help this team in the month of February when the schedule gets tougher. You know, so far not off to a great start, but certainly a good chance to rebound against Kentucky on Saturday. And again, I know it's fun to make fun of, you know, for Tennessee fans, it's fun to make fun of Kentucky 5-10 this year so far. Not very good. Not even knocking on the door for the tournament right now, but
right.
Yeah. You know, still can't overlook, you know, Kentucky, no. The way it's coached, those prospects that are in there, those freshmen, they're there for a reason. And so if Tennessee gives this type of offensive performance that it did last night against Kentucky, you know, it's going to be in for a rude awakening yet again.
Yep. Rick Barnes frustrated with the turnovers, as we talked about. Tennessee didn't handle that zone well, but you know, part of his thinking was Tennessee's players were being lazy in how it took care of the basketball. 15 turnovers, and Ole Miss took advantage of that, and it cost Tennessee in the end. So it's a bad loss. It's an ugly loss. There's no sugarcoating it. Again, Ole Miss deserves credit for what it did, but man, it really affected Tennessee. Ole Miss beats Tennessee 52-50. As Eric mentioned, Saturday, Tennessee will go on the road to take on Kentucky. We'll continue on with Locked On Vols. With it being signing day, how much activity will there be for Tennessee? One player who had been committed is no longer. There's a story that came out on Tuesday that doesn't look great for Tennessee. What do we make of it? We'll discuss coming up next right here on Locked On Vols, as today's show is presented by BuiltBar.com. If you need a snack in the middle of the morning, middle of the afternoon, something on the go, breakfast replacement, how about a Built Bar? It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar with so many incredible flavors. New flavors include caramel brownie, cookies and cream, some of the OGs that I love, peanut butter brownie, peanut butter. I grabbed a toffee almond in the middle of the afternoon on Tuesday. Perfect on the go. And while these bars taste great, and remember, they're covered in 100% chocolate, so many flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors, you're going to love them. They're healthy options for you too. So if you're looking to lose weight, looking to maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat, how about a Built Bar? They're low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, high in fiber. The peanut butter bar that I mentioned, 19 grams of protein, only 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. That's one word, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Eric, as we shift to football, it's signing day, and we've talked about this. It's a different kind of signing day. We don't know for sure as of this recording right now if Tennessee is going to be signing anyone. What we do know is that Tennessee is not going to sign Rock Taylor, and the anticipation was that he probably would not sign, but on Tuesday, a story came out at AL.com with Rock Taylor, a wide receiver, tight end prospect who had been committed to Tennessee for quite some time, committed to the previous staff, and it's notable he did not sign with the staff in December. But according to Rock Taylor's high school coach, Tennessee called and pulled his scholarship offer on Tuesday, and it did not sit well with the high school coach. I know you have the story up. If there are any quotes that stand out to you that you want to read or what you would take from it, but a story that got a good amount of attention Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening.
Yeah, and you're going to see something like this each and every, you know, signing day eve, if you will, whether it be in December or February. And the hard
Especially
part about it is
a coaching change.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and it's the hard part about it is a business. And you hate it for the kids. Kids often, you know, flirt around with fan bases and commit and decommit. You know, coaches do the same thing. But here in Tennessee's case, and we'll talk about it more in a moment, but, you know, Josh Heupel did not recruit Rock Taylor. And so it's kind of hard for me to sit there and criticize Tennessee right now. But nonetheless, here are some quotes from that story. Again, this is ANL.com, a story released, you know, early afternoon on Tuesday, and it got a lot of social media attention and a lot of blame thrown towards Tennessee regarding a prospect that's been committed for nearly a year now in Rock Taylor. High school coach Keith Eldridge, you know, said this is Bush League. Tennessee was going to give him the opportunity to decommit. That way it makes him look better. The head coach said, I said, no, this is on you. This isn't Rock. This is on you. You know, later on in the story, he said that essentially I just told him that Tennessee's never allowed to come to a campus where I am. They've got no shot at any kid I coach. They've offered, you know, this player who we hear right now, the orange has me seeing red. Tennessee's not welcome back here wherever I am. And so those are some pretty, you know, eyebrow raising quotes there. The more you discuss this and, you know, again, I hate it for Rock Taylor because, you know, I've talked to him a few times, good kid. But as you pointed out earlier, I mean, I can say with pretty much, you know, all the confidence in me, if Jeremy Pruitt was still the head coach at Tennessee, I don't believe Rock Taylor would have been a part of this class. I think the first sign was he didn't, you know, sign in December. And a lot of times, you know, Tennessee had four commits that did not sign in December. And those four commits are no longer, you know, part of this class anymore. There's a reason for that. But there were some academic issues. It's noted in the article that, you know, some members of Heupel's staff said that they were concerned that there would be some eligibility issues. The high school coach said that was not the case. But nonetheless, this story got a lot of attention. It's hard for me, Josh, to sit here and point the finger at Josh Heupel in Tennessee. It's not the best look. I understand that. But at the end of the day, you know, Josh Heupel had nothing to do with this. And so it's just, I think it's just a really an unfortunate situation all around.
Yeah, it's awkward timing, and it doesn't look good for Tennessee. It's not going to read well. Anybody who is not following the Rock Taylor story, which is going to be a lot of people. You know, we've mentioned here on the show that, yeah, I don't know that he's going to be signing with Tennessee, but people aren't following his recruitment. So they're going to read the story, and it's not going to look good for Tennessee. I'm also not sitting here and saying that Tennessee handled it well, whether we're talking about the administration or Josh Heupel, the previous coaching staff. You know, maybe Jeremy Pruitt wasn't handling it well. It's still not going to read well. The high school coach being upset, he's protecting his player. I totally get that. I don't know the coach there. The statement that Tennessee, you know, shouldn't be recruiting his players, he's not going to let them go to Tennessee, and you know, that's going too far. I've seen that before. This isn't the first time that something like that's been said about coaches. I want to say something like this has happened with Tennessee in the past, but it's happened in the SEC and the ACC. It happens a lot because the offers get pulled, or a kid being, you know, at least feeling like he's being misled. And again, I understand the coach wanting to stand up for his player and kind of protect him. But if a guy in the 2022 class, 23 class, he mentions that Tennessee is recruiting some of his players in the future, if they want to go to Tennessee, then they should end up going to Tennessee. And you know, right now, I would guess that they probably won't. But it's not going to read well. I also don't think in the future this is going to be a big deal. Jeremy Pruitt's had to deal with pulling offers in the past. It just happens. It's an unfortunate part of recruiting. I hate it for Rock Taylor. If he was under the impression he was signing, he's made comments before. You mentioned you've talked to him.
Yeah.
So he thought he was signing with Tennessee, it appears. So at the very best, there was bad communication.
Yeah.
So it's not a good look for Tennessee. Next year, I don't think we're talking about the Rock Taylor story.
No, and we shouldn't. I mean, this is not a top 100 recruit. This is not a five-star. I think Rock Taylor's got a lot of ability. He's a four-star. I think he's got a nice blend of size and athleticism. He's listed as a tight end. He's really a wide receiver, but a lot of room to grow at least. But I agree with you. We're not talking about this next year. But that doesn't, you know, soften the blow any for him or his family. You know, today it's probably embarrassing. You know, the high school coach, though, he thought he was doing the right thing, probably made it worse for Rock Taylor, if we're being completely honest. It's just kind of, and again, this happens all the time. It's not always made public. Yeah,
in this class, now it's not the day before signing day, but in this class, there were players who publicly decommitted from Tennessee, and they were actually in a position where Tennessee was not going to sign them, and made it clear to them, hey, you probably need to look elsewhere. Maybe they had a similar conversation to what the high school coach is relaying here, that Tennessee said, feel free to say that you decommitted. You can make it look like you turned us down. And because you see that all the time with so many schools, Tennessee included in this class, and it gets a little tension. They say they're decommitting. They then go somewhere else and the story moves on. This will bring more attention to it. But again, I don't think it's a big deal. Eventually, if Tennessee wants to recruit some players at that school, I'm sure they'll be able to. It's an unfortunate PR thing that Josh Heupel has to deal with, and he has a challenging job enough. So I'm not placing blame here. It's just, yes, it's no good for anybody.
It's the last thing Josh Heupel needs right now is just, you know, with everything on his plate. I want to read off some tweets here. Now, I tweeted the quote out. I tweeted the article from AL.com, and I put a quote in there from that high school coach, the one that said, I just told them that Tennessee is to never come back on my campus wherever I am again. And I said, Vols reportedly pulled Rock Taylor's offer. It got a whole lot of run. And a couple of VFLs jumped in here. Ramon Foster, of course, part of the top 20 morning show in America. That being,
how about Big Moan?
Yeah, they're moaning J Mart's show over at 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. This is Ramon Foster. He quote tweeted my tweet and said, Coach making this all about himself more than anything. He's wrong for saying UT can't recruit his kids. Y'all do know Tennessee may be short on a scholarship. This kid runs a full rate at the wide receiver position. He wasn't qualified yet with his grades. This isn't a bad move. And, you know, Ron Slay, who joins, you know, Sports 180 frequently on the Sports Animal in Knoxville, a basketball VFL, said this is a bad move from the coach. And so you can make the argument, certainly, as we pointed out, coach is trying to protect his players. I get all that. End of the day, this is not a big story, but you hate it for the prospect and Rock Taylor because it's certainly embarrassing. But I'm confident, you know, he's an SEC type player. He's a Power Five, football player. He'll land on his feet, and I'm intrigued to see where he ends up signing later today.
Yeah. So I guess I'll just summarize saying I don't think anybody looks good here. I do hope the best for Rock Taylor. Hope he has a good career and finds a good spot and does well in college. Certainly hope that. I'm sure everybody's pulling for that. So we'll get back to Tennessee's 2021 class. What else should you know about it? Is it's pretty much been put together at this point, but what are we paying attention to on the second National Signing Day? We'll get to that coming up here in the final segment of today's show. Eric Kane, the future host of Locked On Vols, is here. I'm Josh Ward, helping out along the way. And if you're getting ready for the weekend coming up, there's a big game on Sunday. Maybe you've heard about it. You have the Bucks and the Chiefs. Who do you think's going to win? Who do you think's going to win the coin toss? What do you think the Gatorade color is going to be? You can get in on all of this at betonline.ag. Betonline.ag works on your computer, works on your mobile device. You can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You get a 50% welcome bonus. And it goes beyond the game coming up this weekend. Basketball's going on every day. Soccer's going on every day. NHL going on every day. You get the picture. There are other sports going on. Fight sports, you can bet on them at betonline.ag. They make everything so easy for you. If you've been sitting on the sidelines, you don't want to anymore, go to betonline.ag. And as I mentioned, sign up today for a free account. That's at betonline.ag and use promo code Locked On. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus. Go to betonline.ag, use promo code Locked On. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So, Eric, we covered the Rock Taylor story, but what about the class stands out to you? As we've talked about some of the players who are the highest rated. Caden Salter is very important at quarterback. Catron Evans on the defensive line. Linebacker Aaron Willis might be counted on to help right away. Kamen Marley's a nice signee. I think he could be a linebacker. Do you think that's where he ends up? Why don't we start there, and then what else would you add to looking at the class, what you see first?
Yeah, I think Kamen Marley, he's an athlete. I think that his ability to rush the passer off the edge, he's very quick. He's got good feet. He's played all around in the defensive backfield, a linebacker, at defensive end at his high school. He's just an athlete. And I think that Josh Heupel will have a weapon on his defense here in a couple of years with Marley there at the outside. But, you know, those players you mentioned, I think Catron Evans is a guy that can, you know, step in and play immediately, a four-star. I like his makeup. Aaron Willis is going to have to step up and play. Maybe not starter day one, but, you know, with the position that the linebacking core is in right now, it's not good. And so Aaron Willis, you know, for right or wrong, is going to be asked to step in and play a whole lot. I'm very intrigued. And of course, Caden Salter, I'm excited to see how, you know, he looks in spring, how he looks with this offense. I think that's really exciting. He might not be a guy that plays hardly at all this year. I mean, there's Harrison Bailey, who's got some experience under his belt. There's Hendon Hooker, who, you know, will go in and have an opportunity to play right away. So he might not see a lot of action this year, but I think Caden Salter is going to be a nice piece down the road for Tennessee, especially with this coaching from Josh Heupel. A guy that we didn't mention yesterday, you know, Miles Campbell, you know, tight end position. Austin Pope is coming back. I think that's a good sign. But you know, Miles Campbell, what can he do in this offense at the tight end spot, especially with Trinity Bell, who tore his ACL, signed with Tennessee, but, you know, likely not going to be a contributor next fall. He might work his way back, you know, midway through the season or so, but everybody rehabs an ACL differently. But I'm very intrigued to see the stories, how they unfold with Dylan Brooks and Cody Brown, both of which have expressed interest about being released from their national letter of intent. Both of those players signed in December to Jeremy Pruitt's, and both of those players are good and two players that were going to play for Tennessee next year. So intrigued to see what happens there, but you know, here we are. It's National Signing Day in February, Josh. It's not what it used to be. December's taking all the fun, but it looks, to my calculations, Tennessee has 21 spots filled in this class. So you've got about four spots left. I don't anticipate Tennessee signing probably a high school prospect at all today. I don't anticipate Tennessee signing more than one player today. Not a lot of fireworks today, but there will be 25 players in this class before kickoff in August. That's for sure.
Yeah, you still have the transfer market out there. And once Tennessee has its coaching staff in place, that's still not together officially. I know some names are being added from UCF on the offensive side. And as of this recording, Josh Heupel's still trying to figure out the defensive side of the ball, who's going to be the defensive coordinator. So that's obviously going to play a role in who Tennessee might pursue and what Tennessee's trying to get done with the roster. The quarterback battle is going to be one of the biggest. I mean, it's the biggest storyline, I would say, from a roster standpoint. One, because it's so important, but also because of Heupel's offense. And I think you have some intriguing players at quarterback. So what Caden Salter can do as a newcomer, that's been a big storyline over the last several months. But now you have Hendon Hooker, who's a newcomer, and you have a new offense with Josh Heupel. So I'd say that's one of the more intriguing aspects. In this class, Tennessee could have used more offensive line help. Amari McNeil's in the class. He's talked about playing defensive line. He could be an offensive lineman, but Colby Smith is a former commitment who ended up flipping over to Auburn here in the last couple of weeks. So you don't have a lot of help on the offensive line in this class, and that concerns me a little bit considering some of the departures you've already had with Wanya Morris moving on. Yeah, that's a guy that you were expecting to at least have this next year, maybe the next couple of years. So you're having to replace him. And, you know, Cade Mays is probably gone after 2021. That would be the anticipation, right, that he would go to the NFL. So it just Tennessee could use more offensive line help, and I think Tennessee could use more help at corner in this class, especially with Bryce Thompson leaving early for the NFL and Key Lawrence deciding to transfer.
Yeah, I think offensive tackle, I think cornerback and linebacker, three positions that Tennessee is going to try to address, trying to finish off this class for sure. You've got Jamarion Gooch, you've got William Griffin Parker, and you've got Amari McNeil. Those are the three offensive linemen Tennessee brought in. As you mentioned, McNeil was wanting to play defensive line, but there's now a needed offensive tackle with the absence of Jameer Johnson, with the absence of Awanya Morris and all that. Some names to maybe keep an eye on today. I mentioned the prospect out of Dallas, Texas that was offered by UCF and then Tennessee earlier this week. You know, last name Uke. He's got kind of a unique name, but I wrote a blog about him as well. You can check that out. But nonetheless, he's a name to look out for. Jeremiah Crawford is from Butler Community College in Kansas. UCF offered interest in him earlier as well. And so with the needed offensive tackle, potentially Jeremiah Crawford might be a name to kind of watch. Tavarish Dawson, an athlete, a three-star from Lee High School in Florida. He committed to Auburn in May, but UCF was trying to get him to flip. He had UCF in his final six. Tavarish Dawson might be a name to watch as well. And of note, Tennessee does not have a scholarship kicker on roster right now. You've got Brinson Magley entering the transfer portal. You have walk-ons Toby Wilson, who kicked in the finale against Vanderbilt. You have JT Carver, who's very talented here from the in-state. He's a walk-on as well. Paxton Brooks can kick as well. He did in high school, but he's your primary punter. Chase McGrath, kicker from USC, entered the transfer portal in December. He is a graduate transfer. He will have 2 years of eligibility. There's been some rumors floating around there that Chase McGrath might be in this class as well. But nonetheless, you've got about four spots now, depending on what happens with Dylan Brooks and Cody Brown. You might have six spots. You got Hendon Hooker that'll sign officially tomorrow. You got Anderson Kobe, a wide receiver from the JUCO ranks that already committed. He'll officially sign tomorrow. Those two are counted in the 21. Big Cat
Kobe's
Bryant.
He's on campus, so he's locked in.
Yeah, he's locked in. He's already on campus. Big Cat Bryant, he committed to Tennessee, committed to Shelton Felton and Jeremy Pruitts. Those two guys got fired and have not heard anything from Big Cat Bryant. I would all but assume he will not be a part of the volunteer plans moving forward.
So, Eric Kane, your first week being a part of the show, you're going to be taking over in a more full-time capacity here right around the corner. I haven't given you the most uplifting welcome to the show this week with today's show talking about the loss to Ole Miss, the Rock Taylor story, you know, whatever you make of that, and then not an eventful Sunday. It's not necessarily a negative signing day. It's just not very eventful, so I apologize.
No, man, it is what it is. It's kind of par for the course for you and programming the show my first week on. No, I'm excited to be here. It's fun. There will be brighter days ahead for Tennessee football. I'm confident in that. Forever is a long time.
Yes.
And nonetheless, I mean, there's going to be tons of news here on the Locked On Vols podcast. The investigation into the football program, still not over. So that's going to be a lot of content coming forward. What's the rest of the staff going to look like for Josh Heupel? How does he finish off this class? Spring practice is right around the corner. And, of course, this Tennessee basketball team, it's going to bounce back, and hopefully it'll be a fun month of March. So it's still been a heck of a blast. It's still been so much fun this week. I'm really, really excited to talk Tennessee athletics with all these awesome listeners.
That's right. There will be plenty of stories to cover moving forward. So coming up on Locked On Vols, quick programming note. Right now the plan is that there will not be an episode on Thursday or Friday, and then it will be back to 5 days a week starting on Monday. So Eric Kane, your future host of Locked On Vols, I do want to say quickly again, thanks to all the folks who have sent messages about the show over the last few years. I've really appreciated it. So thanks to everybody who has reached out. And I'll reiterate, Locked On Vols isn't going anywhere. And I'll still be hopping on from time to time. So you've not heard the last of me on Locked On Vols. But the next episode will be on Monday, and it will be back to 5 days a week right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. So for Eric Kane, I'm Josh Ward. Thank you again for hanging out. Have a great day. We'll see you next time here on Locked On Vols.